In the Gospel reading today, we hear this story of the Canaanite woman who comes to our blessed Lord asking that her daughter would be healed from the torment she was suffering with a demon. And at first, our Lord doesn't say anything. Then he says that he was only sent for the people of Israel. Then he says it's not right to take the food of the children and give it to the dogs. Now put yourself in the place of that woman and ask yourself, what would you have done? What would your response be? It's one thing when you're being ignored. It's another when you're literally being essentially told to get out. But she didn't stop. And in fact, not only did she not stop, but what was important was the humility. To be able to say, but even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from their master's table. And our Lord blesses this woman because of her great faith. So it gives us all pause to be able to look at our own selves. Not only to ask the question, would we come back to ask again and again and again. But do we have that kind of humility that this woman had? We might, if it is our own child, have enough love to be willing to do whatever we need to do to try and get that help. But do we have the humility that this woman had to be able to recognize our own lowly state? Now, we have to put this also in a context here because our Lord told us that he came only for the children of Israel. It was for his apostles then to bring the gospel to the rest of the world. He simply focused on Israel. What a wonderful thing from a human perspective if our Lord would have traveled throughout the known world at the time and preached the gospel. But that wasn't the will of his heavenly Father. So he was focused only on Israel. But every once in a while we see that there are some extraordinary situations where he will reach out to those who are Gentiles. We see it here with this woman. We hear about it with the demoniac among the Gerasenes when he's in the among the tombs and he's slashing himself and so on. There are several times when some of these people who are not Jewish people are healed by the Lord. And our Lord even reminded the Jewish people that at the time of Elijah the prophet, there were many widows in Israel, but Elijah wasn't sent to any of them. He was sent to a widow of Zarephath in Sidon, a pagan woman. But he was sent there because that woman had faith. She had faith in God, even though she wasn't among the Jewish people. And our Lord told the people that at the time of Elisha the prophet, there were lots of lepers in Israel, but none of them were healed. Only Naaman the Syrian, once again a Gentile, a pagan. And God healed that man. Because he had faith. Remember when the Roman centurion came to Jesus and asked our Lord to heal his servant? Our Lord said, I'll go. And he said, no, only say the word. And Jesus looked at the man and said, I've never seen this much faith in Israel. So he came to the chosen people of God. And yet the reason that he healed some of these people who were not part of the Jewish people was because of their faith. They had faith that was far greater than the majority of the Jewish people. Even to the point where the three cities where Jesus had worked the vast majority of his miracles, he himself said, the day of judgment, the Queen of the South is going to rise and she's going to condemn you. Because all of the things that Jesus did in those three places, and they paid no attention. Oh, it was kind of cool to have a miracle worker around, but there was no faith in God. And that's the part that we all have to look at. Because, first of all, we hear in the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah that God is going to do something rather extraordinary. He says there are foreigners who are going to join themselves to the Lord. They're going to minister him. They're going to love his name. They're going to become his servants. They're going to keep the Sabbath free from profanation, hold to the covenant, and they're going to be in the house of prayer. Their sacrifices are going to be acceptable. What's he saying? The foreigners are going to be a lot more faithful than the Jewish people who aren't keeping the covenant, who aren't keeping the Sabbath holy, who are offering sacrifices that are not always acceptable. Right down the line, our Lord, once again through his prophets, is pointing out that the chosen people to whom everything was given are not being faithful. But somebody looking at it from the outside, the Gentiles, the foreigners, the pagans, they're going to become part of the people of God, and they're actually going to do it right. Well, we all know that for the most part, as the old saying goes, converts make the best Catholics. Isn't that an interesting thing? Those of us who have been Catholic from the time that we were babies when we were baptized, we just take it for granted. We don't care. We're content with just being mediocre. We say things like, oh yeah, I've heard all that before. Yeah, I know. But we've always got an excuse why it's okay for us not to do what we're supposed to do. But then we have these people who become Catholic, and they put the rest of us to shame. They take up a serious prayer life. They're following the ways of the Lord. They're striving to live a truly moral life. They live a great example to others. And as I said, they tend to put us to shame. Maybe it's like what St. Paul was talking about. Because he talked about the fact that the Gentiles that he was going to, he wanted to be able to bring the Gentiles to the faith in order to make the Jewish people jealous and therefore at least save some of them. Maybe that's what God's doing with the converts to the Catholic Church. Maybe he's trying to make the rest of us wake up a little bit, maybe even get a little jealous of these people and say, you know, maybe I need to get my act together. Maybe I need to start doing something different. Because again, if we go back to the first reading and we listen again to what the prophet Isaiah said, or what God said through the prophet Isaiah, he talked about the people who join themselves to the Lord. They're going to minister to him. They're going to love his name, and they're going to become his servants. Now ask yourself, does that sound like you? Am I truly loving the Lord? Do I use God's name only in the most reverent way? Because his name is holy. Or do I use God's name all the time because everybody else is? You see, we've lost the reverence for God's name. Many people have lost the point of ministering to God. It's the first commandment. We've lost the reverence for the name of God. That's the second commandment. Then he says they're going to keep the Sabbath free from profanation. That's the third commandment. How about us? No shopping on Sunday, right? No working on Sunday, right? Oh no, we don't do anything like that. Really? When I'm driving someplace on Sunday, as I look at these stores, the parking lots are absolutely jam-packed. Now, I realize we've got a lot of pagans these days, but I have to assume that a whole bunch of those people parked in those parking spots are Catholics that don't belong there because they're violating the third commandment. Are we really getting our act together? This is what happened to the chosen people 2,700 years ago when Isaiah wrote these things. And then we look at it and say, okay, God chose us in part to be able to do these things and to bring the Jewish people through our example of truly loving God, truly ministering to the Lord, truly following the Sabbath, that this would be an example to bring the people to the fullness of the truth. So again, just ask yourself, if there was somebody that I know who was Jewish, or these days, if there's somebody who I know who's a pagan, would my example, my words, my actions make them want to be Catholic? How many of us talk negatively about what it means to be Catholic? How many of us just ignore the commandments? Again, think about that. If the whole point of what God was going to do was to bring the Gentiles in to be able to bring the Jewish people back to what they were supposed to be, have we failed? How many people who call themselves Catholic are really striving for holiness? Again, God says that my house is going to be a house of prayer for all peoples, that they will be joyful in my house of prayer. Are we? Now I realize, again, for those of you who are teenage kids, yeah, teenage kids are teenage kids. When mom and dad say it's time to go to Mass, you say, praise the Lord, can't wait to get there. Uh-huh, right. Are we really joyful in God's house? Do we really want to be here? Because Almighty God is right there. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus that saves our souls is being offered right here, and I have the privilege that is beyond any other privilege on the face of the earth to receive Almighty God into my own self in Holy Communion. Or do we just say, oh, it's so boring. I don't know why we go there. We could be doing so many other things. There are cartoons on Sunday morning that are on. I could sleep in. On and on and on the nonsense goes, because we somehow or another have failed to recognize what God is doing. And so there are people who are not baptized, whom God is healing and doing extraordinary things for. There are people who are Christian but not Catholic that God is doing extraordinary things for. And then we look at our own lives and ask, is God doing extraordinary things for me? Maybe let's look at it the other way. Am I doing for God what I'm supposed to be doing? Do I have faith like that Canaanite woman, like some of those people that I spoke about earlier, the widow from Zarephath, Naaman the Syrian, the centurion who said to the Lord, only speak the word and my servant will be healed? Do I have that kind of faith? Do I really believe and trust? Do I have the prayer life that's going to be able to unite me with Christ and open my heart to be able to receive all that he wants to give? See, we've done a horrible job as priests and bishops of teaching our own people. Not only have we not taught our people the catechism, we haven't even taught them how to pray. Yeah, we all know the Our Father and the Hail Mary, maybe the Rosary, but to really pray deeply and profoundly and to seek that union with God, to give us what is really going to make us truly joyful to be in God's presence, we haven't given that to you. And that's really tragic. That's not your fault, that's our fault. But that's what God is inviting all of us to. He wants all of us united with him. He wants all of us living according to his commandments, not just because we have to live according to the commandments, but it's because what's best for us. And it is an opportunity for us to be able to show to God and to those around us our love for them. And if we are steeped in prayer, and we're living a good moral life, the example that we're going to give to others is going to be very positive. That's what's going to bring them to the faith. Not simply because we want more people, because we want their salvation. We want what's best for them. That's what we have to be about. So a great opportunity for all of us to look at those things and ask ourselves, am I doing better today? With all the things that we have, am I doing better than these people were 2,700 years ago? Am I really living the faith? Am I being that example to others to be able to bring them to Christ? That's what St. Paul said that we were being called for. So that as the disobedience of the Jewish people brought about the mercy of God for us, so now our receiving of God's mercy is going to bring the Jewish people to the fullness of the truth. We haven't seen that happen yet. Maybe that's because there aren't enough of us living it. Again, that's not pointing a finger at any of you. All you have to do is remember what the devil had to say about St. John Vianney. He said, if there were three Viennes on the face of the earth at one time, I would be finished. 2,000 years, and we haven't been able to put three St. John Viennes on the earth at one time. That's pretty sad. But that's the reality that we're living with. But we have the opportunity right now, with the situation that we're living in the church and in the world, to be the greatest saints that the world has ever seen. But that requires a life of prayer. That requires a moral life of following the commandments, truly living according to the commandments. And being able, because you love God so much, to be filled with joy in his presence and bring that joy and the light of Christ into the darkness of a world that doesn't know joy. But if we have the Lord, we do know it. That's what we want. That's what God wants for us. It's what he wants for those other people, to see you and through your example to bring them to the Lord.